You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got local, state, national, sometimes the international. And like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to Monday. Monday all day long. But golly, could you ask for a more beautiful Monday? And Boomer's on the board. Hey, buddy, how are you?
I'm good.
We could do the show outside.
Oh, man. We could do the show outside. We'd have to dodge the golf balls, but we could do it outside.
You know, I found one out there just a little while ago, too, by the way. Probably put a ding in the side of the building. I always worry about parking my truck out there. But, yeah, man, what a beautiful, beautiful day. Did you guys have a good weekend?
Oh, a great weekend. You?
Yeah.
Like catch up on sleep?
It's like restful.
Ooh, a restful weekend. Can you believe that?
I don't know when I've said that. I mean, like, dang. Wow. I told Charlene Saturday morning, she said, how you doing? I said, I think I'm sleep drunk.
I'm feeling good.
Is that a thing? Sleep drunk? I think sleep drunk is a thing. Anyway, I'd rather be sleep drunk with some other kind of drunk, but there you go.
Yes.
All right. Hey, listen, we got a great show laid on for you at 3 p.m. today. State Senator Arthur Orr, who's one of the leaders in the State Senate, budget chairman in the Senate also. He's going to be on to talk with us about several things related to, I don't know, are we going to see the grocery tax go away? What about things like school choice? How does that impact the education trust fund, in his opinion? So, yeah, talking with State Senator Arthur Orr about that stuff, and it's timely, and it has direct impact right now. 3 p.m. for that conversation with Senator Orr. And then I got a triple dipper, bar none. Hit it.
The Triple Dipper, three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the Triple Dipper, three stories, three themes, if you will, that you have got to know as we run today's show. Number one, I'm calling it social justice, but not in the liberal sense. I'm saying watching things that are happening around us, society deserves justice. We deserve to know that when the district attorneys, when the law enforcement, when they go to bat for us, they're truly going to bat for us. And we've got situations that are happening all around us right now. And what do liberals want to do? They want to blame everything except the problem. Well, we're going to talk about it. Number one on the Triple Dipper, social justice. And number two, the tax man cometh. That's what I'm calling it. The tax man cometh. Well, I got issues that we're going to talk about related to local, state, and even federal taxation. What is going on with the government wanting more and more of our money? How do we deal with it? And oh, by the way, if you live in Vestavia Hills, you might want to stay tuned for that one because you got a major tax issue brewing right now that's going to raise your taxes if you're not paying attention. Number two on the Triple Dipper, the tax man cometh. We'll cover that second. And then number three, I'm calling this whole section the war on women and children. The war on women and children. Man, Maria Bartiromo gave some comments this weekend during an interview. This fired me up, and she was right. She talked about how many times women over the years have worked to get to a place where they can be seen as equals in the workplace, and now they're going to have some skinny little dude skipping around pretending he's a woman and give him all the spokesperson opportunities and laud, you know, all kinds of attention upon him. Well, this is ridiculous. It's the war. It's a war on women and children right now, and it's happening as we speak. So we'll talk about that as number three on the Triple Dipper. All right, let me move over to my comments. Let me start us off with my opening monologue. So I got to ask this. Have you ever walked into your friendly neighborhood grocery store and realized that they changed things up and now the aisle where something's always been has other items, and the things you were originally looking for are somewhere in parts unknown throughout the store? I hate it when that happens. Now, truthfully, Charlene has always done the majority of the shopping, but at least I know which way to turn to find milk, bread, or produce, but those canned yams or the whole wheat crackers or granola bars, where'd they go? Well, you might be interested to know that getting you out of your comfort zone by switching things around in a grocery store, it's actually done by design. Something else you may have never noticed is the placement of the sugary cereals. The same ones that often have a cartoon character on the front of the box, more often than not, those sweet, happy-looking cereals are situated right at eye level for their target audience, the kids. Grown-up healthy cereals are up high, sweet stuff down low, and all by design. According to Grocery Industries Trade Journals, the idea of intentionally mixing up the layout of goods in a store or putting Tony the Tiger down lower are strategies to spur you to buy more than you may have planned on. By mixing up the placement of your favorite items in the store, shoppers are then forced to peruse more shelves, walk more aisles, and studies show the shoppers wind up with impulse buys or, oh yeah, items that were not on their original list. And when the kid cereal's down low where they can get their eyes and hands on it, parents wind up with that inevitable tension of, Mommy, I want this one, please. Well, both of these are intentional, and they're known to drive up sales. So much so that the makers of cereal and snacks and other kid-friendly goodies, they actually pay the stores what they call a placement fee just to secure the right shelf placement. They're banking on you being redirected. They're literally banking because it drives up their store revenues. And in essence, you are officially being canalized. That's canalized, like a canal, C-A-N-A-L, canalized. Or a direct and intentional movement of water, kind of like a canal. Because yes, people can be canalized too. You see, in the military, we learn to plan operations of various types. And one of those various types is called a shaping operation. Literally shaping the battle space by trying to create the conditions that we want to help achieve victory. And in shaping the battle space, we often plan for what is known as canalizing the enemy by making use of key terrain or laying out obstacles or setting up pre-designated fires. And if we do it right, the outcome is we restrict the enemy's operations to a narrow zone and we drive them to the place where we want them. And they can't move left or right, so they stumble right into the kill zone. The kill zone. Unable to effectively defend their positions anymore, they get picked off like fish in a barrel. Well, canalizing enemy forces on the battlefield is nothing more than the same principle as steering you up and down a grocery store aisle. Canalizing is just someone putting someone else in a position to be pushed off their original intent and into something else. And the ones that set the stage for doing so effectively are usually the winners. But there's one thing that can change that. There's one thing that can overcome efforts to canalize the movements of someone else. And that one thing is situational awareness. If you know that you're not going to buy that cereal, if you refuse to be duped into walking down aisles filling up your basket with impulse buys, if you see a minefield in front of you, then don't take the bait. Well, then you're not canalized. Okay, so why am I telling you this? Because the liberal left is doing all that it can right now to canalize you, even as we speak, every single day. Their intent is to wear you down and make you think that, you know, what you know to be true seems unattainable now or too exhausting to reach. Or so they direct you toward a softer position that turns you away from your principles of conservatism. And it moves you more and more towards something that's squishy, soft, no longer a threat. The left is doing all it can right now to canalize your thoughts and behavior. And the only thing that can stop that from happening, y'all, the only thing, is for you, me, all of us, to have the situational awareness to see their attempts for what they are and then refuse to take the bait. Let's just take one example. I mean, I could do all kinds right now. I could talk about the justice system. I could talk about liberal DAs and Soros funding these things. I could talk about stealing elections. I could do all of it. But let's just take one. How about the transgender agenda? So Drag Queen Story Hour shows up at the public library. They don't seem too scary. They're just entertainers, right? They love children. They're like clowns without the balloons. Right. But your kids seem okay, and they beg you not to fuss, and the local library is run by nice people, so good folks sit quiet, and they get kind of unsure of themselves because it makes them feel awkward, but they're not sure why. But oh wait, what's that on your child's social media? Oh look, a guy on their social media happily proclaiming that he was born in the wrong body, that biology doesn't matter. He's chronicling his transition to womanhood, making it look so joyful and over the top, and everyone at school is talking about it. And just like the sweet cereal with the cartoon character, suddenly your kids are at eye level with the goods that paid their placement fee, and your kids are warmed up to the idea now of transgenderism, and you never saw it coming. But then you watch the news, and you see the NCAA is doing nothing about men swimming against women and breaking all the norms and the records of women's sports, and you realize that your daughter, who's been training since she was 10 years old to follow her dream of being an Olympic swimmer, is now going to have to compete with a guy who is 8 inches taller than her. But you're told by the college where she's on scholarship that if she pulls out of the meet, she's going to lose her scholarship altogether. And just like that, you stay quiet because you don't know how to pay for college without that scholarship. But then you admire the fact that one of the athletes decided to speak out, and she does. And you and every other parent are hoping that she can get the job done by herself. But just, you know, then the protesters show up and they harass and they threaten her and they run her off the campus where she was speaking. And now you're scared because you wonder what would happen to you if you spoke up. And then you go to work the next day and the boss comes in and tells you that a new employee has announced that he is transitioning to be a female. And we'll have to be using the women's restroom and you'll have to use the right pronouns. And oh, by the way, that employee is going to take 6 weeks off to have elective surgery to help with the transition to womanhood. And you get to cover down on all the work while that person's out of the office finding themselves. And you go home from work wondering when all this happened. How did we get here? I'll tell you how we got here. Because for the last several years, the progressive left has been effectively canalizing folks, steering them to a place where they either can't or won't speak out. And all that really means is you're in the kill zone. And this is just one example. But we have got to have situational awareness. We have to know our positions. We have to be able to clearly see theirs, and we have to avoid being canalized, avoid being duped into the kill zone. So my friends, I'm telling you, know what you believe, be willing to speak up, and don't let yourself be canalized, because that kill zone, that's not where you want to be. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. There you have it, the kill zone. I'm telling you, they canalize. I mean, we trained on it in the military. How do you steer the enemy to where you want them to be? Well, that's what they're doing. And they're doing it in a variety of ways. And they're putting that shiny stuff down there on the shelf where your kids can see it and make it look so entertaining. And next thing you know, you're having to defend it at every level or figure out what to do about it. And then you realize your whole livelihood's at stake because of it, because no one ever spoke out. I'm telling you, don't let yourself get put in that kill zone. Don't let yourself get canalized. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. By the way, if you're watching on the live stream right now, you might notice that the studio has been rearranged. Boomer got a notion. It's a good one. I'm actually staring at him right now, which the way it was all set up before, he had to turn around to talk to me, and now I come in, it's like, I didn't think this stuff would fit, but it fits.
Yeah, and now we actually get to face each other.
Which is a problem. Now,
I know, yeah. I used to just stare at you into a computer screen because that's where you were. But now it's like, oh, I can actually see
I'm
you.
Digging it, man. It feels fresh. It feels very fresh. Yeah. The only problem is you can't reach over there to open the window as easily as you used to. I know. Because sometimes it's not quite as fresh in here after a while.
It's a little hot.
Yeah. Anyway, good job, man. Thanks. Hey, text lines are open. 833-687-4448. That's 833-687-4448. And I will tell you too, the resources are up. So if you're not familiar, what we started doing is if you watch the live stream of the show, great. You may notice, you know exactly where to go on the website. For those of y'all that don't on a regular basis, start doing it. But go to rightsideradio.org. That's www.rightsideradio.org. There's one tab called live stream. You go to that tab, and now we've moved it. Boomer moved it right for the show. Right at the top of the page, it says today's resources. Click on that button. Every article that I've got for today's Triple Dipper is on there. So if you hear an article, you're like, where was that? Phil had that article. Go get it. It's right there. I got all the links out there for you. So it'll have Triple Dipper 1, 2, and 3 with all the articles that support each one. And then the live stream and then the audio and then the, you know, you've also got the podcast. Where's the podcast right now?
Oh, let me look. I just had it just up a second ago. Let's see here.
A lot.
It's a lot.
It's a lot.
It's a lot. It's a lot. It's a scads, big number. 135,300.
Gee,
wow.
All right. That's just way cool. So we're at we're at 135,300, you said, downloads?
Yeah, that's right.
That is cool. So we got two podcasts. So today's show, every show, is always podcasted in both its full and partial formats. If you want to grab a part, send it to a friend, listen to it again, pick up a part you missed, you can do it. But the other thing is, within the Right Side multiverse, we also have Boomer and the Lovely McQueen, who do their own podcast, and it's called The Right Life. Yeah. And that one's you come out with new episodes every Wednesday.
Every Wednesday.
Yeah.
So, man, we have a blast doing it. Just jump into everyday life. You know, it's kind of fun.
All right. So we do our Boomer McQueen segment.
Yes.
You guys are as much a hoot on your podcast as you are in that.
Oh, absolutely.
I know you are.
And let's be honest, it's all McQueen.
So you're the straight guy.
I'm just there. You know, she makes everybody look better.
It says McQueen's world, and you get to live in it, right?
That's right. That's right.
All right, that's the Right Life podcast. It's on there too. So yeah, you're welcome to it. It's all there. We got all of it out there on the website, and check us out wherever podcasts are located. So yeah, the text lines are open. I can see a few people already texting in. What do you got here? JT from Lacey Springs says candleizing related to my monologue. Candleizing. Guess that explains the 100-foot row of Budweiser items eye level at the grocery. Trying to get the kids. Yeah. Daddy, buy this one. Yeah. No, son, we don't buy that one anymore. Wait, I do have some target practice I need to get up to this weekend.
Ooh, yes. Yeah.
And all of a sudden, beer cans find new meaning.
I love it.
I tell you, has there ever been a bigger version of buyer's remorse than what we're seeing with Budweiser right now in terms of buying him as their spokesperson?
I don't think so.
Okay, so you probably don't remember this. In fact, I know you don't because you weren't born.
Oh, there we go.
Again, I am older. But there was a period of time when Coca-Cola decided, you know what? Coca-Cola's old-fashioned. We're going to go with a new formula. We're going to call it New Coke. And it tasted like Pepsi, to be honest.
And what were they thinking?
That's a great question. Nobody knows.
They thought it was a great idea.
And you look at it later and thought, who got paid for that?
Ooh.
All right, so then what else can I think of? I mean, there's been any number of corporate stupidness over the years. And you know, some of it has blowback and it blows over. Others, it can devastate the company.
Man.
But yeah, so right now this whole thing with Dylan Mulvaney being on the cans and being a spokesperson. And by the way, I've seen videos on like Instagram and stuff of women burning their Nike sports bras because they've got Dylan Mulvaney, a dude, modeling women's sports bras from Nike.
Yeah.
What the heck?
I get it. I wouldn't want that either. Like, no, I don't want to be associated with that.
Yeah. And then there's some, I didn't want to read the article because I didn't want to see the pictures of him posing in it, but there's some dude now who's a spokesperson for a national women's lingerie company. I kid you not.
Really?
Yeah, I don't get it. I guess
it's just like they're pushing and pushing and pushing.
They're trying to canalize us.
It's like we're the frogs in the pot. They're just gonna keep going, and then eventually we're just gonna be like, okay, whatever.
That's it. They want it. They want that water boiling slowly, so you don't even realize it. They're trying to direct you to where they want you, to that kill zone, man. I'm just telling you. We got to stay alert, and we got to speak out when we see it. Don't wait until it gets so big you can't deal with it.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Anyway. All right. Hey, we got a great show laid on for you. Coming up next, social justice. So you may be thinking, Phil, what are you talking about social justice for? That's the liberal term. It is. I'm taking it away from them, using it for my own. I'm saying society needs some justice. We need to know that the wheels of justice are actually going to work in our favor. Quit blaming everything else and get back to just fixing the criminal issue. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. You guys stay tuned. We will be right back. Hey, all you Right Side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Nope. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, and just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. That would be Alabama. I'm talking about this show goes way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. Yeah, proud of it. What a great listening audience, too. I'm just saying, we got the best audience out there. You could not ask for better than what we got. I'm just saying. Just saying.
Nope.
Just so you know.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. All right. Hey, listen, jumping into the triple dipper here. Top of the hour, by the way, you're going to want to stay tuned. We've got State Senator Arthur Orr is going to be calling in. We'll be switching gears from this topic I'm about to do now to another one when he calls in. So let me see what I can do to get this in right now, because this is important. Just this morning, by the way, if you hadn't seen it, just this morning, the House Judiciary Committee, led by Representative Jim Jordan, is having what they call field hearings in New York City. Really? And they're calling it a political stunt on the left, and they're calling it the way to go on the right. So that just tells you everything right there. But, of course, Jerry Nadler, you know, the guy who seems more like a character from something out of The Lord of the Rings or whatever. But anyway, Jerry Nadler, he did his piece, his opening statement as the minority leader now on the House Judiciary Committee, and excoriated the Republicans for doing all of this to support Donald Trump. Okay. Sure. But yeah, it's not. What they're trying to do is highlight what's happening, and they're going to do this in more than one venue. They're trying to highlight the fact that liberal DAs right now and defund the police movements are exposing people of this great country to criminal elements that are acting with wanton disregard for human life, limb, or property. I'm not sure what all I said, but it sounded really good. But that needs to be written down somewhere. Mark that one. But anyway, yes. What I'm saying is this. People need to know that whereas some call it social justice on the left, I'm just saying this. Society needs justice. We need to know that the justice system will go back to work in places where it's been broken and start fixing the streets, if you know what I mean. Fixing the streets. Like, for that. And by the way, liberals, stop trying to blame everything on gun control. Stop trying to blame everything on, well, we have to do something to bring in, you know, some more social justice systems to provide counseling on the crime scene. No, you don't. How about get the criminals off? By the way, there was a stat this morning that I could not believe, but Jim Jordan read out the stats. And he said that in New York City, just retail theft, which, by the way, we used to just call theft, but retail theft, stealing from stores, retail theft alone, there were 337 people who accounted for 6,000 of the incidents. What does that tell you? They were repeat offenders, some of whom had been arrested 20 times and had never faced prosecution or incarceration. Well, so basically, if 337 people had been kept off the street, maybe at least after their, I don't know, 15th arrest, there would be thousands of retail thefts that would not have occurred. And that's just in New York City. One venue. Listen, in San Francisco, it's gotten so bad that the San Francisco City Council and the state of California, if I'm not mistaken, have now made it to where you cannot be arrested or charged unless the theft is over $1,000. You're reaching for the microphone.
Over $1,000?
Yes.
So they just don't care about the other stuff.
Exactly.
So let me just go in there and make sure I just only take...
And that's what they do.
$900 worth.
And that's what they do. They literally walk in the door, some of them with calculators. They start walking around, and then they pick up stuff and walk out. And what's happened is they got a whole black market going. There are fences across the street who will buy it for them cash on the dollar. They'll go buy drugs. They'll come back the next day, and they'll go to the next store, and they'll steal $900 worth of stuff, come back, sell it for $110, and then go buy drugs, come back the next day. And they do this all up and down the streets. That's why stores are closing.
Wow.
Yeah, it's unreal. Well, so I don't know if you saw this or not. In Chicago... By the way, I'm going to get to Alabama here in a minute. In Chicago, over the weekend, I mean, this boggles my mind. But literally, there were hundreds of teenagers who went on a rampage. They called it a teen takeover of an area in Chicago, downtown Chicago, called the Loop. Hundreds of tourists are out, you know, people are there. It's, you know, restaurants and theaters and all that kind of stuff. And all of a sudden, these crowds of teenagers descended on it. Apparently, it had been coordinated through social media. It was like the, what they call those old flash mobs? It was like a flash mob. And they just showed up and began literally tearing things up. They're going on a mad spree. And this happened just over the weekend. Look it up. I got a story here from Fox. This one is titled, Chicago Mayor-Elect Condemns the Teen Takeover, but says it's not constructive to demonize the youth. Yes, actually it is. If they're the criminals, it is. Chicago Mayor-elect Brandon Johnson warned against vilifying youth while condemning a chaotic teen takeover of the Loop over the weekend, which saw hundreds of young people descend on the downtown area for two nights in a row. Two nights? I didn't realize it was two nights. He's very worried about their feelings. Let's make sure we don't vilify them. Vilify them? You have hundreds of young people who came out there smashing cars, blocking traffic, fighting in the streets. Two people were shot. And his worry is that we're going to vilify them? Well, if they're doing this, then by God, yeah, we're going to vilify them. Stop with the social justice. So Chicago police did make 9 arrests. I'm talking about 9 adults, 6 juveniles were arrested, 15 total. The response, though, from the new mayor-elect is, it's not constructive to demonize youth who have otherwise been starved of opportunities in their communities. You know, you got two issues here. If you think they need a teen rec center to play in, that's cool. In the meantime, you got to punish bad behavior. You can't go build the teen rec center and hope the city still stays standing while you burn it, while they burn it down, just long enough for you to get the teen rec center built. How about this? You better start doing both. But this is where he comes from. Chicago police have been struggling, it says, to rein in crime in recent years, with homicides hitting a 25-year high. Johnson, the new mayor-elect, faced attacks during his mayoral race about his desire to, what? Defund the police. Yeah. But he's going to worry about whether or not we're being mean to kids who are out there running around smashing and grabbing and shooting and looting. And I'm telling you, how about the hundreds of tourists who had to get escorted back to their hotels by the police because they were fearing for their safety? How about the folks who were assaulted or had their cars trashed for no reason except that a flash mob decided to get out there and go crazy and have some big fun? Well, we had a massive incident, too, this past, when did it happen? Was it Friday? What day was the shooting in Dadeville, Boomer? Was it Friday or it was Saturday? It was Saturday night. Saturday, yeah. So, I mean, it comes home. It does. It comes home. The intent by the left to blame everything except the problem is even right here in Red, Alabama. 1819's got this story, right? It happened Saturday. If you haven't heard, it's a tragedy. 4 people killed, 28 injured at a Sweet 16 birthday party. One of those kids who was killed had just been awarded a full-ride football scholarship to Jacksonville State University. I mean, this is awful. And it's I've got so an article here from 1819 is up on the resources tab. You can find it, or you can go to their website. But, you know, we got comments in here from Governor Ivey and Senator Britt and Senator Tuberville and Congressman Moore, Lieutenant Governor Ainsworth. But then this one I'll read because it's his district, is Representative Mike Rogers, who quoted scripture first, Psalm 34:18. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. He says, there's no words for how heartbroken I am for our community. My prayers are all with the families in Dadeville this morning. But the only Democrat in Alabama's delegation, the only one in Alabama's U.S. delegation, is Democrat Congresswoman Terry Sewell, who offered her sympathies and then immediately pushed for gun control. Because that's the problem, right? I mean, hey, that's the problem. It's the gun walked into the room by itself and did all the shooting. It's not, and by the way, they don't have a suspect yet. It's a bad situation. I mean, somebody is still at large. And if you know something, by the way, if you can hear this and you have an indication or even a rumor of something, you saw it on social media, doesn't matter what it is, then I encourage you to let law enforcement know. But our only Democrat turned immediately to the idea of blaming something else other than culture and issues of not holding people accountable. The follow-up story to that, too, is 1819 did a follow-up on it today. Biden and anti-gun activists used the Dadeville Sweet 16 shooting to push for gun control. That's President Biden right out the gate. Sunday morning, he said, what does our nation come to when children cannot attend a birthday party without fear? When parents have to worry every time their kids walk out the door to the school? Guns are the leading killer of children in America. The numbers are rising. Want lawmakers to act on common sense gun safety reforms. How about this? Your vice president went to Nashville and didn't even meet with the victims' families. Stop pretending you care. It's an agenda for you. You don't want the issue to be resolved. You want to blame a piece that helps you move your agenda. I'm telling you, we need the justice system to get back to justice. We need law enforcement to be allowed to do their jobs and to be upfunded, not defunded. And then on top of that, stop blaming everything else. But wait, I mean, here's a few for you. So WSFA, news station out of Montgomery, one of their reporters, Aaron Davis, I believe I met Aaron Davis, nice person, but she says immediately, something about this shooting has me extra numb. The legislature's in session. Tell your representatives and senators the changes you want to see. No, I'm sorry. You're supposed to be an objective reporter talking about the news, but instead you just showed us that even you as a reporter are going to go straight to blaming something and demanding action instead of just holding people accountable. I mean, this is ridiculous. Oh, we got one NBC News national security analyst, a guy named Frank Figliuzzi. Frank Figliuzzi immediately said, it's because Alabama has a permitless carry now. Come on, dude. I am pretty sure the person who walked in there and killed four people and wounded 28 others could care less whether we have a permit system or a permitless system. They were going to do what they do with an illegal firearm or a legal firearm. But that's where we are. I got a little more on this, but I'm just telling you right now, folks, this is a part of being canalized. Do not let them tell you that it's something else. What it is crime. And crime needs to be prosecuted. Berman, you can take us to the break, buddy. Crime needs to be prosecuted. And, oh, by the way, police need to be upfunded. And we need to get away from blaming these social issues. If you want to fix the social issues, do it. But you can't diminish the ability to enforce and prosecute crime. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Got a bunch of texts that came in. I look over there and like, well, I guess I better read a few. So Jenny from Decatur, read that part. I guess it's that part a while ago where I said, what did I just say, Boomer? Write that down. Anyway, she says, please repeat what you said. I'm so sorry I was trying to write it down too fast, but nope. Anyway, Jenny, I don't know which part it was. It'll be on the podcast.
It'll be on the podcast. Wait till right after the show. It'll be on that first, the first dipper of the podcast.
The very first. Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you. Appreciate it, Boom. Sorry, Jenny. Sometimes I say things and I pontificate so madly that I don't even know what I've said. But anyway, there it is. Michael from Sylacauga just texted in, said, shootings do happen in Alabama. And when they do, it's newsworthy. And if a day ever passes without a shooting in Chicago, it'll be newsworthy. That's a great point. What else we got? Raven from Russellville. Oh, dang. So first of all, he says, Mulvaney's a representative for Tampax. Where is he going to put it? Anyway, there's that. And then he says, justice is available. Folks with my skill set just haven't decided yet to bring it. Keep your powder dry there, Raven. Just keep it dry, bro. We need you around. Don't get out there ahead of yourself. I know you won't either. And then Rita from Scottsboro just says, with regards to my monologue, she says, they're not canalizing women with all the transvestites and transgenders. I think they're actually trying to cancel women. I think they push abortions to bring down the population. I'm beginning to wonder if that's what they're trying to do by pushing kids to get permanent gender assignments as it can't be changed, and those children will never be able to have children of their own. Again, controlling the population. Interesting point. Yeah. Tony from Piedmont, with regards to canalizing, I can tell my man Tony is a former military guy too. He says avenues of approach, PDFs, which is pre-designated fires, and if subject to being overrun, an FPL, which is a final protective line. So basically, you're just laying it out, bro. Ron from Tuscumbia. And by the way, Ron, this is also going to be in the show later on. He says CVS is putting out a transgender guide. Yes, they are. CVS employees are now subject to having to follow their new guidelines for handling transgender employees, which includes, guess what? You get to share a bathroom with whoever wants to use it. You know, guess what? You have to use pronouns and all that stuff. All right, let me jump back into it. Top of the hour, by the way, we're going to switch gears, go to the number two on the triple dipper, the tax man cometh. And we'll start that off with a conversation with State Senator Arthur Orr. Social justice. My take on social justice, my version of social justice, is that society needs justice. Society needs to know that people will stop blaming the things that happen on their liberal agenda items. We had an awful situation of the shooting in Dadeville. 4 people killed, 28 injured. Then we had just this weekend also, last night actually. Authorities are still searching, according to Fox News. Authorities are still searching for a suspect after a shooting in Biloxi, Mississippi, that left at least 5 victims, including 1 police officer. Biloxi Police Chief John Miller is at the scene shortly after 8. He said officers from multiple agencies swiftly responded to a massive shooting that involved possibly 4 or 5 victims, a Biloxi police officer being 1. And he points out, whenever there's a massive shooting like this where several people are shot, you can expect that law enforcement works together. We always have. And that's true. The men and women of law enforcement are doing all that they can do, and they are sometimes the ones in the line of fire. But listen, you got stuff like what I'm about to say here. So just a couple weeks ago, we had that awful school shooting in Nashville. Children and adults both killed. Was it 3 children, 3 adults, I believe? And I've got an article here from NBC. Fairly even-keeled article, except that it just doesn't want to go there. It just doesn't want to go there, quite there. It says, more than 2 weeks after a mass shooting at a Nashville Christian school, according to NBC, investigators have not yet identified a clear motive in the attacker's journal writings. How about let us see the journal? How about this? We were told that the shooter had a manifesto. And now all of a sudden, they say in the article, it just appears to be the ramblings indicative of mental health struggle. Well, what's your point? Maybe that's the point. Maybe this was the agenda. A federal law enforcement source verified to NBC News that no direct motive has been established in the investigation and suggested the driving force of the attack was similar to previous school shootings. Really? It's like other school shootings. What does that mean? What do you mean by that? Did the other school shootings have a transgender with a written manifesto that you've not allowed us to see yet? But here's the thing. Liberals went straight there, right? Fox News has a story that came out just this past Thursday. A flower shop near Nashville has refused to provide decorations for a Republican event featuring former President Donald Trump and urged other businesses to deny future services to the Republican Party in a call for stricter gun laws. In response to the shooting, the flower shop in Belmead, Tennessee, said they immediately declined service for the upcoming Republican National Committee fundraiser and encourage others in the Nashville event industry to say no to making money or jobs from the Republican Party until they begin to make changes to gun laws that most Americans are calling for. See, they can't help themselves. Where society needs justice, society needs to upfund our law enforcement and support them in what they do. And society needs to know that district attorneys will actually prosecute crime and that legislators will have tough-on-crime policies and that we'll just go there because law and order matters. The liberals are desperate to find an agenda item that just basically takes away your Second Amendment rights or tells you that you're the problem because you didn't provide enough social welfare opportunities, or that maybe what we really need to do is send somebody who's not a trained policeman but a trained, I don't know, counselor to go to the crime scene and sort of help. Really? Well, I'll tell you what, society as a whole just wants to know that criminals will be prosecuted and put away so they won't keep coming back and perpetrating the same things over and over again. And it happens right here at home, and it happens nationally. And it's the same freaking story everywhere. And I'm saying, folks, don't let yourself get candleized on this one. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, coming right back. We'll be with State Senator Arthur Orr. Y'all stay tuned.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios, man. We got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. We cover down on it like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, hey, by the way, I got to tell you, in a minute I'm going to bring on our guest, but I just got a picture from my daughter-in-law sending me that my grandkids are actually watching the live feed. And so I'm their cap, and I'm saying hello to Declan and Emmy, my grandbabies, and love y'all. So that's just very cool. I got a picture now of them watching me. That was very cool. All right, hey, listen, I'm proud to bring on somebody who I've had a chance to know and work with for a number of years, State Senator Arthur Orr. He hails from the Decatur area. He has served in Senate District 3 now, I believe, since 2006. He's one of the leadership of the Republican caucus in the Senate, serving as a budget chairman now for a number of years. And Senator Orr is coming on now to talk with us about several things related to some taxation points. Senator Orr, how you doing?
Hey, doing fine on a beautiful Monday afternoon, Phil. Hope you had a good weekend.
I did, man. I was telling Boomer a while ago, I wish we could broadcast a show outside today. It's like perfect right now.
It is. Day class outside. Remember those days back in college or even high school?
Does that even still happen? I don't know. You're the budget chairman. Make something in the budget that says on pretty days you got to take the class outside.
It's a bridge too far.
Well, hey, man, let me ask you, speaking of budgets, so, you know, for years there's been this move, and it used to be more often than not brought by Democrats, mostly a show, to do away with the grocery tax. We're one of only three states in the nation that taxes at the peak levels that we can. But the Democrat version was always to bring the bill to do away with grocery tax, but only if we raise taxes somewhere else. You are actually, being a budget chairman, now that we're finally in a surplus, you're actually floating a bill, you and the House Budget Chairman, Danny Garrett, to phase out the grocery tax. Tell us what you got.
Well, it would certainly take a while. It's phased in over a period of 7 years, and that assumes that our economic growth is 2.5% or more a year. And so it would be a slow phase in. Understandably, Phil, the exempted groceries would be under the WIC definition, which is somewhat of a goofy definition where there is some hair splitting about the type of bread that's exempt or the type of eggs or the type of dairy. So it gets kind of detailed. It's very accessible on a smartphone. You can pull it up and just see what's there, what's allowed, what's not. As opposed to the SNAP definition, which is anything you put in your mouth except alcohol or chewing tobacco, that is certainly a much more broad definition. And it has, as you would imagine, as a former lawmaker, all the lobbyists are for that definition. The difference is the cost. The WIC definition is around $220 million once fully phased in. The SNAP definition is well over $600 million, $620, $630, somewhere in that range. So about three times the amount of the WIC definition. And therein lies the rub, because the cost. And, you know, quite frankly, I get concerned as to whether the budgets can bear that kind of hit in revenue that's very reliable and sustainable. You know, income taxes go up and down, but the grocery tax is pretty reliable. And, you know, if we're trying to balance our budgets, that's something we certainly have to consider as far as the reliability of an income stream. So all that to say, I don't know where we'll wind up, how things will end. It's an important issue for sure. But in the process, we don't need to overshoot the runway and crash the budgets where we're cutting schools or cutting teacher positions, et cetera, because we overcommitted back in 2023 to something that we quite frankly couldn't afford.
All right, so I will say, first of all, Arthur, congratulations. Kudos where they can be given. And in this case, really and truly, this is the first time that I've seen House and Senate leadership both lead the charge on doing anything about the grocery tax meaningful. And even if we wind up just with the WIC definition, which I can hear the pragmatism in your approach there, that's probably where y'all are leaning right now. That still means something, and that's something we don't have right now. And by the way, this is also being considered, if I'm not mistaken, without raising taxes anywhere else to offset. Am I correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Well, that's yay. All right. That's the thing that used to always kill it, was there would be, somebody in the House Democrat caucus that would bring a bill that, as long as we raise the federal deduction or erase the federal deduction to raise taxes on anybody who pays taxes, that we'll do away with. No, you got to finally, somewhere along the line, we got to cut the cord. We're one of the last states in the nation that's ever even touched this. Now, let me ask you this. What does your bill do to local taxation? Because local sales taxes are still in place, am I not mistaken?
Yeah, it would freeze the locals from being able to add additional taxes to what they already have on the books. So they couldn't go up. If they raise a sales tax, they would have to exempt, in this case, the WIC definition of foods. So that would be precluded. I'll throw this in, Phil. There would probably be a proposal to do 2%, or that's half of the state grocery tax on SNAP foods coming forward. And my concern with that is if we go halfway, the pressure is going to be immense to go ahead and finish the last 2 cents. The bill I have does all 4 cents on the WIC. But over time, the difference between those two definitions is billions and billions and billions of dollars. Again, that would all go to education. And is that a smart decision to make by going along with the SNAP definition, which is, like we talked about, about 600 plus a year?
Well, and I'm saying this for the audience's benefit. You already know this more than anybody else in the state, probably. But the reality is Alabama has two budgets. Education budget, and then the other one's called the general fund. Basically, everything education is largely in the ETF, the Education Trust Fund. And that one typically has all of the growth taxes for the most part. Now, we've reallocated a few things in recent years, but since the days of deficit spending or proration spending by the Democrats, we have now put in place a rolling reserve, so you've got a reserve account for education. We've also got the SSUT, if I'm saying it correctly. The online sales tax has been streamlined, so it's actually effectively drawing revenue that it should have always been drawing. All said and done, Alabama's got record surpluses just through regular revenue means without the one-time monies. So this is the year, man. I mean, I'd say go big or go home.
Well, you're right. Now, people have to remember, if the state were to remove the sales taxes on groceries, and incidentally, we are the second lowest when it comes to state sales taxes in the country. So we're low in state sales taxes, but if the state were to get out of that taxation on groceries, you still have the locals, which are cities and counties, which would be 5%, 6%, 7%, whatever they are, still taxing groceries at the local level.
Well, and we can't adjust those. We can't give them an unfunded mandate of stripping away their local taxation
right,
without some modicum of at least having a say-so in it or giving them a chance to speak out. But in this case, all you're dealing with is the state portion. So you're telling me there's a possible substitute coming that would change it to SNAP as opposed to WIC? Is that what I heard you say?
There'll be another proposal to that effect. And go to 2%, to take half off for now. And again, as I said, my concern is the pressure will be on to take the last 2% off, and it'll be quite costly to the education budgets. And is that really the best decision to make? You know, you look over in Mississippi, and they had this debate in their 2023 legislative session, and the governor over there chose to do all he could to reduce income taxes, wanting to become an income tax-free state, as opposed to getting rid of the sales taxes on groceries, or at least he wants to reduce income taxes dramatically, and sees that as a real attractive component to make people want to move to Mississippi as opposed to the sales tax rate.
Well, I think Mississippi's done some pretty amazing things that really caught people off guard with their willingness to cut. I guess the bottom line, Senator, is you guys are in a position that we've never dreamed of in the years past. When we were having to borrow from the trust fund and then repay it over time just to make ends meet on the current expenses. And we're not there now. And that's because of good, sound budget policies that have put some things in place that made it all work. All that to say, I think this is the year. And I also think this, too, Senator, we're one of the only states that didn't do anything in the last few years. When the private sector and the citizens were hurting the most and government was getting upfunded, the citizens were losing their businesses and hurting in inflation and Biden inflation. And this is a great opportunity to show them that their state legislature really does something. So I guess I'm almost like lobbying you on the air, but there it is. take that for what it's worth, brother. But let me ask you this last question with about a minute to go. You successfully voted against all the gambling bills over the years, but if you were a betting man, how do you feel about this thing? Has it got legs?
I haven't seen a bill, but I've seen the promoters become more visible in the hallway.
Oh no, I'm talking about the grocery tax. I'm not talking about a gambling bill. I'm sorry.
Right now, I'd say it's 50-50.
Okay. Well, that's better than it was about 3 weeks ago. So,
and so much depends on the economy.
All right,
and what the outlook for that is.
Well, the folks out here spending money in the economy are hoping you're doing it. So, anyway, you let us know what we can do to promote it. But I appreciate the fact that you're carrying it.
Thank you.
All right, Senator Arthur Orr, serving from Senate District 3 up in Decatur. Appreciate your time. And I know he had a meeting to go to, so he was probably chomping. But that right there, folks, is one. Take us to the break, Boomer. But that's right there is one bill. There's a couple of them this year that if I had to say, call your legislator, this is it. I think this one and school choice and maybe a couple others are the most conservative, positive, need to get them passed kind of bills to show the state that we're not a purple state after all. We're actually a red state and we act like it. Let's be one of those states, though. One of the last ones in the nation holding out on a grocery tax. Let's get rid of it. It's time. Time to do something meaningful. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama, solid conservative and just plain right, making it cool to be a conservative. Hey, we got several textures. I'll just jump on those for a minute here, commenting on anything we've discussed so far. Tony from Russellville is brand spanking new on the text line. He sent me a long text. I read through it briefly a moment ago. And basically what he's concerned, I'll summarize it instead of reading the whole thing. He's asking me, and he's reaching out back to the monologue I did last Friday about more people getting involved. He says he feels like we've been trying to do that now for the last 30 years about electing conservative legislators, and his concerns are they don't seem like they act that conservative once they're down there. He thinks the special interests have got hold of them. And I think for some of them, Tony, I think you're right. For some of them, you are absolutely right, and I know for a fact because they've told me. But then others, I can tell you right now, there are some down there who are rallying as best they can for the conservative cause, and they may be outmatched by the large number of what I would call purple legislators. But the truth is, there are still some good conservatives down there, and we just need more of them. And then again, we also need to support the ones that we have, because what's going to happen is this. Some of those folks down there who are conservatives in the true sense are going to wind up getting lambasted or not put into positions of leadership or whatever. And we got to have their back when the time comes, we as citizens. So anyway, hey, Tony, thanks for being a part of the show now. Tony from Russell, brand new on the text line. Brandy from Athens texted in and said, would the grocery tax have any effect on restaurants? And to my knowledge, the answer is no. And I say that because the food items being served in the restaurant have already been purchased by the restaurant. They already came through your supplier. Now they're being repackaged as a cooked food item. So, no, I don't believe that it's going to have any impact on restaurants. It won't change the collection of any taxes at the local level for restaurants. She says, too, though, if it came down to grocery tax or school choice, one or the other, she would choose a school choice. Okay, fair enough. Robert from Athens, he says, for Senator Orr, I haven't even read the text yet. So he says, in 2020, KIV had the study done on the benefit of a state lottery. Okay, he wants a lottery. Income over $7 million. So the reality is this. Robert, the lottery, the reason why it's never passed before is because the casino owners kill the bill every year. I kid you not. We'll talk about it one day in a lot more detail, but the truth be told, the gambling issue is a big deal. It is far more detailed than just, I want a lottery. It's a lot bigger than that. And every single time they bring up a lottery bill, it's the casino operators who get it killed because they want something written into it to give them monopolies on their casinos. And that's not part of the bill, and it winds up killing the bill altogether. It's a long story, but there's the summation of it. Gary from Decatur, Alabama is the lowest income tax state. Maybe so, but I guess he's asking about Senator Orr, has he bought a new vehicle lately or licensed one for the first 5 years? They make up pretty well collecting revenue on many other things. Listen, state of Alabama collects money on everything. They collect money on you being allowed to work, licensing you for what kind of work you're allowed to do. And then, yeah, they catch you in a variety of angles. And he's right. Gary from Decatur. Gator from Russellville. Talking about, how about we quit rewarding educators for doing a bad job? It's been proven that throwing money at it doesn't work. At my job, if I don't produce the expected results, I get fired. You are correct, sir. And I will tell you right now that the only place in the world where you're allowed to fail up is government. Somewhere along the line, the private sector finally gets hold of that. The government, though, just keeps sending you new budget appropriations and telling you, attaboy. Jim from Athens wants a lottery. Jerry from Decatur. The answer to social upheaval is more midnight basketball. There you go, Boomer. We solved it. Yeah.
I like it.
Why didn't we think of that before?
I don't know.
More midnight basketball. You know what? I'm kind of laughing, but I think I see his point. All right, what else we got in here while we're going heading to the break here momentarily? Jeff from Indiana, there's a new parody of a Budweiser ad. I got to go check. Oh, I think I've seen it, Jeff. I saw it this weekend. It is actually hilarious, but I almost couldn't watch it. It was. Devin from Brownsboro. A privately owned Christian-based wedding cake owner cannot refuse to make cakes for gay couples without being considered discriminatory, yet it's completely okay for a company to refuse to provide services to Republicans because they're not getting their own way with the Second Amendment. Another fine example of rules for thee, not for me. I totally agree. If you didn't hear it, that's the flower shop in Nashville that won't give flowers to the Republican convention because of gun control. All right, folks, we're sticking on this. Tax man cometh. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. Love this place, Alabama. I'm talking about this show goes way on down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. Well, we're sticking with this whole topic, Triple Dipper. I've got local, state, and national considerations in taxes. Since we just did grocery tax with Senator Orr, that's state. I'm going to stay on that for a minute. Listen, if you ran a poll right now, pick a question you think was going to get solid, like solid response, like overwhelming response. I mean, first of all, if you've ever been around polling much, there's not many things you can poll that poll high. And in polling life, anything that polls above 55 to 60% is considered a wow, solid win. Like, no kidding, like solid. When people win elections, they come in, like I won my last election, I won, I think it was 54-46, I think. No, or 50, anyway, somewhere around there. That doesn't sound real big. That's actually big. That's pretty good. Anybody would like that margin of several points in between. All right. And then in polling, it's the same way. You look at something, you go, dang, man, they ran a poll. How'd it come out? Well, we got 53% agree with us. Woohoo! All right. That's more than you need, right? Poll here recently done by the Alabama Republican Party on the idea of getting rid of the grocery tax. Boomer, if you had to guess. Oh, wait, you saw these already, didn't you? Do you remember the number?
No.
Okay.
I do not remember the number.
All right. If I'm hiding the page. I saw you trying to look through the page while holding it up. All right. If you had to guess, what would the percentage be of Alabamians across party lines who want to see the sales tax on food go away?
All Alabamians.
All Alabamians.
I would say it's above 75%.
83%.
Okay, there we go. I was close.
You win by being very general.
I said above. I was going to go 70-something. But
no, you're right. AL.com's got a piece here. Came out April 12th, so what, last week, 5 days ago. 83% of Alabamians want to do away with the sales tax on food, a recent GOP poll shows. It says, of those with an opinion on the grocery tax, 83% wanted to see it eliminated compared to 15% who don't support the idea and 14% who are unsure. How are you unsure? I don't know. Do I want to pay less for my food? I don't know. Let me think about that. Anyway, the proposal was popular across party lines. 70% of both Republicans and Democrats and 69% of independents all said they backed eliminating it. When asked if they preferred doing away with the food sales tax versus a proposed $800 tax rebate, the majority, 82% overall, said they preferred a grocery tax cut. This is huge. This is, so I'll say it again. Think about this. What do you want to be last at? Nothing. Maybe last one to, you know, die. I don't know. But the reality is this. Right now, Alabama is one of the last states in the nation holding out on having a state grocery tax. That's not where I think we'd be. We don't need to be in that spot. I get it. Now, I am not unsympathetic to the idea because I was in the legislature when we had no money. Y'all, I'm talking about we were in budget deficits. The Democrats had run things into the ground before we took control of the legislature in 2010, and we came into 2011 with a budget that had been in proration almost 6 years in a row. Proration, by the way, means, if you're not familiar, proration means they passed a budget because Alabama does have a balanced budget requirement in our Constitution. So they passed a budget, but they knew they didn't have a good one. And halfway through the year, the governor has to look at revenues and go, well, we are not going to make budget, so I have to cut it now. And he prorates the budget down by a percentage. I think one of those years he prorated it by like 40%. And that's because, and I always like to say, and this is one of my campaign slogans, if your budget gets prorated, it was never balanced to begin with. Well, you've not seen proration at all now since 2010. You haven't. Because we've streamlined some things, put some other things in place, made things better, put reserve accounts in, like a savings account. We've done some good stuff. And then I haven't been there the last few years, but they're in a surplus right now. And not just because of one-time monies that came from the federal COVID relief. They're in a surplus right now because the way things have been operating and the economy did pretty well, and even in COVID, the economy did pretty well, and there are indications it will continue to do well. Even if we have a recession, the indications are Alabama's in a better place than it's ever, 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 ever been in the history of ever. And 83% of the state, if you take this poll at face value, says, don't make us be the last ones in the nation hanging on to a grocery tax. I mean, this is a very regressive tax. It hits everybody because everybody has to buy food. Governor Ivey was asked how she feels about it. Well, I can tell you right now, she's lukewarm to it. Just lukewarm. Like, Doesn't even want to get out there in front of it. Didn't bring it up during her State of the State speech. She's all for giving everybody a one-time check of $400, hoping they call it done. Well, now, thank you for my $400 check. That will do what? What can you do with $400? Buy half a TV?
Maybe some bacon now. Sorry.
That was not funny.
Or eggs.
That was sad. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, $400, a family of four can go out to eat about, what would that be? Probably five times, depending on where they go, for a decent restaurant.
Also like, you know, five giant packs of diapers for those families that have kids.
That struck home.
I mean, maybe a little bit more than that. But, I mean, they're expensive.
They are. The governor said when she was asked about it directly, she's open to the grocery tax, but did not say she specifically supports it. That's about as tepid as you can get. That's the kind of thing like, well, got to be careful what I say because I'm supposed to be a Republican. I'm open to it, but I'm not going to get out there and support it. It says, the bottom line is people in Alabama and America are hurting. Times are tight, she says. I just want to find a way that we can be responsible, provide relief. Keyword responsible. She's scared of giving away the money. So I'm open to solutions and recommendations, and we'll consider that, but I do want to return some money to our people if at all possible. Okay, you know what I'm saying? You can afford to do the one-time $400 checks, and you can do the grocery tax with the phase-out that Arthur Orr was talking about a moment ago. So you may be curious to know who else out there is still clinging to it. Who's clinging? Clinging desperately to their sales taxes on groceries. Mississippi and South Dakota. Mississippi and South Dakota and Alabama are the three holdouts. Story here on AL.com. Pretty lengthy story, actually. But they're the three holdouts right now that are hanging on to taxing everyone in the state on their milk and bread. So South Dakota is a rural state. Food insecurity is not nearly as bad there as it is in the South. But unlike in the neighboring northern states, the home to Mount Rushmore levies a sales tax on groceries at its fullest extent. The three states, considered by a recent report as the top three most culturally conservative in America, are also the final holdouts when it comes to offering any relief on sales tax rates on groceries. But Alabama is the only one that can do something about it this spring because Mississippi and South Dakota lawmakers have already gone through their session and they punted on it and they did not do it this year. So we don't have to be last. We can be third to last. Let's get out of there. Come on, fellas. You can do it. Push through. Well, last piece I've got here from AL.com on that one piece of this topic is this. It's kind of crazy. But this is the one that unites liberals and conservatives. I mean, you don't see this very often. You got the Alabama Policy Institute working an issue right alongside the folks from a liberal progressive group called Alabama Arise. You don't see this. By the way, it does not mean the end times are upon us. Cats and dogs living together. No. But you've got a situation here that spans across the lines. This is a goodwill opportunity where liberals and conservatives both agree. Liberals are saying, stop taxing the poor among us. Conservatives are saying, do something about tax reform. And oh, by the way, stop taxing the poor among us. It's the folks in the middle right now who are governing from that moderate standpoint. They're like, I don't know, man. Maybe we hang on to it a little longer. Well, I got news. When you see this much love breaking out, it's time to give it a hard look. And folks, I'm just saying, this is one of those that you call your legislator on. This is one of those where you say, do not let this bill die. Do not let this bill stop in committee. You've got two members of House and Senate leadership carrying the bills. They're both budget chairmen. They know what they're getting into. You've got a definition being applied for what food it would apply to. Right now, I mean, I think they could do more. But some is better than none. And I'll tell you this. They need to do it because right now, Alabama has grown its government at rates faster than New York and California over the last few years. I kid you not. A study by the Alabama Policy Institute shows that clearly. We have upfunded government more in Alabama in the last few years than California and New York have done. And we got to right that ship. All right, I tell you what. We're going to come back and we're going to talk about more on taxation. I'm going to go local. And then I'll jump back to federal. Vestavia Hills, you listen up. You got something coming that you may not have seen, and it's going to raise your property taxes. You might want to know it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, saving the world one sound bite at a time. You know, as long as we're talking about taxation, I just looked up on the screen. So this story is breaking right now on Fox News. We got on the big screens on the wall here. We got CNN on the left and Fox on the right. That tells you everything. But California right now is proposing a tax on the wealthy for electricity.
Well, we're about to see another surge of people.
Yeah, I'm saying,
leave California.
Like, watching for more California U-Hauls pulling into Alabama and Florida and points around Tennessee. They're literally saying that based upon your income, you will experience additional charges on your power bill. So I guess when you establish power now, what happens if your income changes?
Right. I mean, so let me just, so based on my income when I guess started, I'm just going to be like, no, I'm in this category, not this category.
We need to see your W-2s, please. I mean, that's, they will give an illegal alien a driver's license in California, but now they're going to want proof of income for anyone who establishes electrical service. That's just, I guess I got to pay for reparations somehow.
You know what that is?
Wait, Boomer's talking without a mic. I got
you know what that is?
What?
It is
jackassery. That is jackassery at its finest. That's some layers of jackassery right there. Thank you, my brother. Okay, speaking of taxation, so I'm in this first part of the Triple Dipper, or second part of the Triple Dipper, actually. The tax man cometh. And I thought what I'd do is give you some examples of things that are happening and could be happening directly to you at both the local, state, and national level. We covered state, all right? I'm not going to keep going down that road. Grocery tax, call your legislator. Tell them what you like or don't like about it. Let's talk local. Let me tell you something you got to watch out for. Local bills, we call them. So if you're not familiar, Alabama's Constitution is one of the longest constitutions in the world, actually. I kid you not. It really is. Look it up. You can just Google that. Alabama longest constitution. Yes, indeed, you will find it. Because the way it's written, pretty much everything they want to do at the local level, like do you want to have Sunday alcohol sales? Do you want to do away with something to do with sales tax at the local level? Anyway, all these things have to be done through a bill run in Montgomery for you by your local legislators. So your Senate and House members have to pass a bill. We call them local bills down yonder in Montgomery. And a local bill just passed. Somebody alerted me to this last Wednesday, I think. And it's unbelievable to me the way they did this. So if you live in Vestavia Hills, listen up. In Vestavia Hills, coming up in just a couple of weeks, you have a chance to go to the polls and vote yes or no on an increase in your property taxes. A couple of weeks. I kid you not. A couple of weeks. This bill just passed. This local bill just passed. Somewhere around April 6th, and all of a sudden, shabam, 28 days later, you're supposed to vote on it. Like, no time to gather up your support or your people that you want to, you know, call attention to, do your social media campaigns. Unless, of course, you're on the side that's for the increase, the teachers union, the local school superintendent, the school board, they want this. And so they've been ready because they've been working this thing in the background, working with their local legislators to get the bill passed to allow for a referendum by the people. But they've got their social media campaign ready in the can, and bam, they've launched. So it passed, and they went to it. And everybody that I've talked to is like, wait a minute, what? We got a special referendum? It's a special referendum, which are notorious, by the way, for having poor turnout and lack of visibility. So there's nothing else on the ballot. They're not waiting to the mayoral race in August. They're not waiting to the 2024 general election primaries. They're not waiting for something that's already out there. They're setting a special referendum 28 days after they pass this bill. Yes, indeed. Boomer has a question. Yes, sir, in the front row. What is your question?
Okay, question. So it depends on how many, obviously, people go and vote for this. Is that correct? I mean, I'm assuming.
Well, you can have five people vote, and if three vote for it, it's done.
Okay. So it's just the majority vote of the whoever. So they're hoping that it just kind of flies underneath?
They're hoping that the people who have already been supportive of this, the teachers union, all up, they're going to rally up their teachers union members, I guarantee you. And they're gonna tell them all through. They've got all their emails ready. Go to the polls today. Give them time off from school to go vote, and they're gonna get it done. That's what their plan is.
Wow.
What needs to happen now is, if you don't like it, you better get busy and get some friends together and say, we got to go vote against this thing, or we have to all see our property taxes go up. So here's the bill. So a story from Over the Mountain Journal, which is a local from the Mountain Brook Vestavia area. Over the Mountain Journal reports that the bill did pass. It was Senate Bill 63. It calls for a 9.8 mil property tax increase. It would raise an estimated, where'd it go? $8.2 million annually for the school system. It's called the One Rebel, One Future plan. One Rebel, One Future. In the summer, after nearly 2 years of planning with several design teams composed of teachers, parents, students, and school administrators and chamber members and financial advisors, the millage increase would mean $8.2 million more annually for the school system, which the superintendent said is necessary to achieve their objectives. It would be going to this, 44% of it for improving and renovating existing facilities, many of which are athletic, 22% for new academic programs, 17% for new and renovated arts and athletic spaces, and the remaining 17% for school operations. So they say they need this, right? And I don't doubt that they want to do some different things, add some new facilities, fix some old ones. I feel certain that's probably all real. The question is, should it have been done like this? You never want to see a tax increase shoved down people's throats in the dark of night. This should not have happened like this. And the people in Vestavia who called for this bill should be ashamed. They should be ashamed of the idea that they know exactly what they're doing, y'all. They took a local bill. They got the local delegation to run it. The local delegation should have known better. They should never have put a 28-day referendum. I mean, my gosh, you can barely get the ballots printed in 28 days. But now, 28 days after passage, the people are supposed to know to go to the polls. I guarantee you they're not promoting it much either. I'm betting you they're not. And this thing is going to fly under the radar. So AL.com reports that, Vestavia Hills residents are now one step closer to a citywide vote. They're going to vote on May 9th. There's the date. They're going to vote on May the 9th. I plan to talk about this quite often on this show because I don't think anybody should be surprised. And we got a bunch of listeners in Vestavia and a bunch of you have friends in Vestavia. Tell them. Tell them about the bill. See if they were aware to begin with. I'm curious if they were aware. Anybody out there who's from Vestavia, I would appreciate you calling or texting the show, 833-68-RIGHT. Tell me, did you know this was coming? All right, folks, the tax man still cometh. State, local, and federal. We'll come right back. I got some federal you might want to know about. Biden wants more money for the IRS. We'll be right back.
Listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national. covering down on all the issues. And yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Inexplicably, we are in hour number three. How does that even happen that fast? Just
when we're having fun, time flies.
There you go. In the newly redesigned studio.
Just moved around studio.
Boomer got a notion and moved some furniture, and the flow is good, man.
I like it.
I want my desk to stay right here, though. I don't want to come back on Monday and find my desk gone.
It was too much. I'm not moving anything.
Well, you did good. You did a lot.
I like it, though.
I do, too.
I just get to, you know, gaze into your eyes.
There it is. Stare at me.
That's what it is.
Boring holes through my head. Phil,
like,
stop
Phil, we
talking.
Have to go to break.
We have
Come
to
on.
Go to break. Oh, man. Speaking of stuff like going to break and doing advertising and all that, let me say, first of all, one of our advertisers is the Elm Foundation. If you're not familiar, you need to check them out because it's very cool. It's a 501c3, Elm, E-L-M. It stands for Expect Little Miracles. The Elm Foundation, based out of Huntsville. They're out there making a difference in people's lives, and they're doing it in just a very solid and accountability-driven way. So the Elm Foundation, they don't just like throw money at things like the government does, right? They set up opportunities to help people better their lot in life by, you know, finding the means to develop a resume, a hireable person with job skills and the ability to be productive and to then also. By the way, the Elm Foundation holds them accountable. Like, you know, they have to meet on a regular basis. They have to walk through some things. They check on their milestones, make sure they're hitting the marks. All this is just very cool, and they're doing it right now in the Huntsville area and making great strides. I want to encourage you, check them out. Their website is ElmHSV, as in Elm Huntsville, E-L-M-H-S-V, ElmHSV.org. That's their website. And if you donate anything to them because they're a 501c3, know this. Everything you donate would go to all their programs because they have one benefactor who has already covered all of their administrative costs. So nothing else has to be raised just to pay their staff to do their jobs. Very cool. Love that. I've done a lot of 501c3 work over the years, and that's just an amazing situation to be in. So bless them and thank you for what they're doing. Check them out, the Elm Foundation, elmhsv.org. Okay, back on this topic, though, of... you know, the tax man cometh. So Vestavia Hills, local. Local bills get passed. Local city councils do things. County commissions do things. Next thing, and I'll be honest with you, once a tax gets into place, we have a sales tax in Etowah County that was supposed to have been temporary when it was passed, and they made it permanent. Try undoing that now. So once government gets hold of revenue, it's hard to get them to turn loose of it. Well, just so you know, Vestavia, if you live in Vestavia or someone you know does, tell them that unbeknownst to most of the world, a bill got passed at the local level that is going to cause a special referendum on May the 9th, 28 days after it was passed. Bam! Special referendum. Do you want tax increase? Oh, you didn't know they voted? I'm sorry, you're out of luck. All the ones who knew got down there and voted. Oh, yeah, you know, you're going to pay more taxes. But here's the other one. Let's talk about national. So I've done state. That was the grocery tax I chose to hit on. Had Senator Arthur Orr on talking about it. Local, Vestavia Hills, the one I just talked about. Local legislation you got to watch out for. Now let's talk about Joe Biden and the IRS Army. Which one do I want to go with first? Let's see here. House Ways and Means, which is now run by Republicans, issued a press statement just about a month ago. No, 3 weeks ago. And they say the headline is Never Enough. Biden budget seeks an absurd $43.2 billion for the IRS despite having received an unprecedented $80 billion windfall last year. So if you remember, the whole we got to spend money to make money thing came down with the Biden administration's Inflation Reduction Act. And in amongst that was the money to hire just thousands and thousands of new IRS agents. So they did. They got an $80 billion up fund. And then on top of that, President Biden has now submitted his request for budgeting appropriations, which includes another $43 billion for the IRS. It includes things like woke and climate priorities for the Treasury Department. It includes $43.2 billion for the IRS, which would include, here's the breakdown, you ready? a $14.1 billion budget request for 2024, which is a 15% increase. An additional $29.1 billion in mandatory funding for enforcement and operations. Enforcement and operations. What does that sound like to you?
Well, you too,
Boomer. What does that sound like to you?
That sounds enforcement and what?
And operations.
I'm thinking, well, they're already about to start carrying all those, guns, right?
Oh yeah.
So enforcement, what are they going to be doing? Are they going to be knocking on our doors?
They ran an ad last year, didn't they?
They did.
Hiring all these 87,000 new IRS agents to include needing to be willing to carry a firearm.
Uh-huh.
Enforcement.
Ooh.
Yeah. It says, this is the press release, says, honest, hardworking American families are worried that the $80 billion from last year is going to mean more audits and government monitoring. Now the Biden administration wants to add another $43.2 billion to the IRS. More than 91% of requested funding is dedicated solely to enforcement and operations. That's a lot of money. We're talking about $123.2 billion just for the IRS. Meanwhile, some of the same people voting for this are voting to defund the police, but they want to upfund the IRS enforcement capabilities. So, running down that road for a minute, Steve Scalise wrote a piece on Fox Business, Representative Steve Scalise. He breaks it down pretty clear. He says, for months, Republicans warned that President Joe Biden's push to hire 87,000 IRS agents would pave the way for more audits on small businesses and families across America. But the president and his Democrats have gone to great lengths to attempt to dispute that fact. Except now, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen, let the inside words become outside words. She was asked, here's the deal, she had to come before House Ways and Means in mid-March, just a few weeks ago. And she was asked about the number of new audits that would be funded by this upfunding of the IRS. And she admitted the proportion of new audits on individuals and small businesses making under $400,000 would remain in line with historic levels. What does that mean? So she's, and you can imagine her little voice, man, this would, what would, it would be about at a historic perpetuation of the levels. That's how she would talk and say it. According to the Nonpartisan Government Accountability Office, more than 90% of audits are on families and small businesses below the 400. So basically what she's saying is this. We'll keep doing it like we're doing it. That's what she's saying. I thought they said the 87,000 new IRS agents were going after the billionaires. Because it takes 87,000 IRS agents to go after the what? Several hundred billionaires we have? According to the nonpartisan GAO, though, with 90% of all audits are on families and small businesses below $400,000, which means if we maintain that historic level, as Janet Yellen said, that the 87,000 new IRS agents have nowhere to go but to maintain those levels, they're coming after us. Neither Congress nor the American people, says the article, have received a straight answer from the Biden administration. When Yellen was asked to clarify if the total number of audits families earning less than $400,000, or she meant the proportion, she said it would be the historical rate. It would be the proportion, not the number. That means 90%. The Biden administration would like you to believe they're only going after tax cheats and billionaires because bank surveillance efforts, hiring 87,000 new IRS employees, there's no denying they want to tax you more. They want to target you, and they want to surveil Americans' private finances. This is where we're headed. God help us if we go to a centralized digital bank currency. That's another story for another day, but even still. The administration, though, by the way, this is one of their arguments. It claims that all these new IRS hires, it's really just to cover up natural attrition. People have been retiring. People have, been leaving their vacancies. We got to refill those vacancies. It's important. But the Treasury's headcount only went down by 12,000 in the last decade. So that means there's 75,000 brand new ones at the very least. This is nuts. This is absolutely, we do not need 87,000 new IRS agents. To what end? They already print money when they need it anyway, right? But the bottom line is this, we don't need it. So the tax man cometh. So if I had to tell you something, I'd say watch it, y'all. Because right now you got locals that are willing to run bills to put secret referendums in place within 28 days of passage to try and get your property taxes to go up right there at the local level. Vestavia Hills. You got the state, which has massive surpluses like it's never had in the history of ever, that are talking right now about finally not being the last one in the nation holding on to that grocery tax. We might see something happen this year, finally. And then lastly, national. Joe Biden can't get enough IRS. He loves all that IRS. Give me some more of that IRS. Boy, I say, Belvedere, give me some of that IRS. Yeah, 87,000 new ones. He just asked for $42 billion. It's a 15% increase over and above the $80 billion he got last year when the Democrats rammed through their Inflation Reduction Act. All right. I think I've depressed people enough on taxation. Boomer, take us to a break, brother. We'll do that. We'll come right back. We're going to switch gears, finish out the show with the war on women and children. And JT from Lacey Springs says, it's jackassery, man. It's jackassery. Can you play it on the way out? There it goes. Bill Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Hey, I got to tell you, ZLA Solutions, they've been with us since this show started, man. We've been on the air now for over a year and a half and just blown it out of the water in terms of rankings. We're rated as, by the way, if you didn't know, we're rated as the number one afternoon talk show in North Alabama, which is just way, way cool. That being said, ZLA Solutions has been there since the very beginning. If you are looking for a job, you yourself looking for a job, you might want to check ZLA's website, ZLAUSA.com. They've got great jobs posted all over North Alabama and beyond. But they've also, by the way, they're there to help employers find the people they need to fill out the ranks of their workforce. Doesn't matter whether it's onesies and twosies. Doesn't matter whether it's just, you know, you need somebody with special niche skills or you need a whole shift of people. Doesn't matter. Blue collar, you know, white collar, no collar, it doesn't matter. They can help you fill that out. And, oh, by the way, they can do it in record time. They are good at what they do, and I know these folks personally. So check them out, ZLA Solutions at ZLAUSA.com. All right, I'm going to go to the phones before I do anything else. Boomer, is that call ready for me right now? Hey, and by the way, it's Jeff from Indiana. And, hey, Jeff, I know you're on the line right now. I'm going to tell you right now, blessings and prayers to you. Your wife just had to go to the hospital, and you're driving back up. Is that right?
Yeah, that's the one bad thing about being so far away from home is something like that happens, and then you're so far away. But, yeah, she's going to be fine, I believe. At first they thought it was she's got some heart issues anyway, but they think it's maybe just dehydration and stuff. So she had kind of a little fainty, but I think she's going to be fine now.
Well, then, I tell you what, do you mind saying what her first name is?
Carolyn.
All right. Well, I'm going to pray for Carolyn right now. Father, we just ask in Jesus' name that you would bless Jeff, get him home quickly and safely without difficulty. More than anything, God, we just ask in Jesus' name that you would bless Carolyn, give her all that she needs. You are Jehovah Rapha, the God of healing. And we're asking you to be that for her, and the doctors would be skillful beyond their norm, and you would bless this to be a good outcome in Jesus' name. Amen. There you go, bro.
Amen.
Just pray with you and a whole bunch
of
other people, I feel certain.
Appreciate that more than you know.
Well, absolutely, brother. What's on your mind, though? You talking IRS, too?
Yeah. I don't mind if they hire all these IRS agents as long as they get assigned to looking for the Biden criminal fund. It might take that many of them just to find it.
Well, they may have to travel to Ukraine to get part of it, and some to China, and others to God knows where, because money was flying in from all over the world, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's come from everywhere, but a lot of it's in plain sight, you know, and I just can't can't figure that out. You know why nobody's more disturbed than that? You know, from if it be me or you, you know, I mean, that's how they got Al Capone. Come on, it's it was tax evasion. I think how much tax evasion you think the Bidens are, you know, have evaded now since they accepted all these millions and millions of dollars and. And they can't pay taxes on something that they can't declare.
No, and you're exactly right. And you look at it and go, dang, man, now that we have bank, which we, by the way, we have some of the bank records now that literally say, yeah, money came in from China, money went out to Biden family members, and did they claim it on their taxes? What a easy question to fix and or answer. Yeah. I don't know, man. I don't look at it. It right now, I'm just so glad. I wish we had a bigger majority in the House, but I'm just so glad that we got the majority in the House so that we could at least look at this stuff. Whether we ever see true justice on it or not remains to be seen, but daggum, we wouldn't even be able to ask for the documents right now if it was Nancy Pelosi still in charge.
Well, you know, the Clinton and everything, you know, he was Slick Willie and everything because he got everything, but I think even Biden's even slicker because it's like, hey, look what I did. But, you know, nobody's paying attention.
Part of me wonders if Biden even knew what he did. I mean, at some point, I think he definitely did. But in recent years, I can't help but think that someone just points him to the pudding and he doesn't have anything to say.
I think he just gets a piece of paper and tries to read it.
It does the best he can.
Yeah. Somebody else writes it for him.
Go ahead.
Next time he goes on camera, we need to look for the strings because somebody's pulling it.
Yeah, I'm saying, man. No. Hey, listen, Jeff, we're going to hit the break here in a second. Blessings on you and your wife. Send us a text. Tell us how she's doing, all right?
Okay, I sure will, but I appreciate all your prayers.
All right, man. Take care. It's a great audience, by the way. When you got friends, you pray. And I want to encourage all of y'all out there, do that for each other, all right? Do that for each other. There are times when... And somebody, a mentor, taught me this years and years ago. There's times when you can say, hey, I'll be praying for you, and you'll forget. And that's natural. I mean, people are people. That's why I was taught, you know what, if you tell somebody you're going to pray for them, there may be times when you do it right then. Mm-hmm. Just pause where you are. Spend 30 seconds in the middle of the fast food line or in the shopping mall or wherever you're at and say, can I pray for you right now? If they don't want to, they could say no. But the reality is we need to do that for each other more. And all the more as the day draws near, we hear Hebrews 10:24 say. So there's that. Well, listen, we're going to go to a break right now. We're going to come back. This next segment, I guarantee you, is going to get some response from the text line. The war on women and children. We're in it. We are neck deep in it. The war on women and children. Jackassery is everywhere. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. That would be Alabama. I'm talking about this show broadcast at Signal way on down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. Hey, by the way, folks, I got to tell you, you hear me talking about advertisers and you hear the ads that run during the breaks. If you want to advertise on Right Side Radio, understand we do our own advertising sales. That's a big part of how we support what we do. I mean, Right Side Radio actually is a 501c3, but ad sales are a part of it. And so if you want to advertise your business on Right Side, just go to our website, rightsideradio.org. There's a place on there where you can send a contact message to us, and we'll jump on it and get right back to you. We've had several, in the last week, Boomer had at least three or four send us through the website, and we get our sales staff right on it. And so, if you want to advertise on Right Side Radio, just know that in whatever market we're in, we sell our own advertising, and we would love to talk to you. I got several text messages with regards to the prayer thing. Leanne from Huntsville just says, amen. Pray immediately. We got TL from Huntsville who texted in and says, prayers of agreement together for Carolyn. Amen. Joe from Athens says the same thing that says amen. And then got a call on the line. Is that Brian? Yeah, Brian from Huntsville's on the line. Hey, buddy, how you doing?
Doing well, and I appreciate the Scorpions, No One Like You. Thank you, Boobner, because that was my high school song.
There you go.
And we were testing out our stereos. But as far as Carolyn goes, Jeff and everybody else, my wife taught me something and already did it, and I shall do so again. But it is, before you tell somebody you're going to pray for them, stop for a moment and pray for them.
Yeah.
And some people ask me if I'm at a corner store or whatever, what I've done, if they're spilling their guts to me and everything. I said, no, I just stopped and prayed for that.
Yeah, so, I totally agree. The timeliness of the prayers can sometimes have as much impact. I tell you what else, too, Brian. Every once in a while, I found if there's a situation like it's just not like you can't really stop and pray with them right then, I'll tell them, hey, listen, I'm walking out to my car, and before I turn it on, I'm going to pray for you. So I've said it in my own mind at that point that this is going to happen then. Absolutely, bro.
Yes, sir.
Hey, appreciate you, man.
Thanks.
Y'all. Have a great day. Hey, let's jump into the last of the dippers. We're going to get all three done today. This one, I guarantee you, some of y'all is going to want to call in because the level of jackassery involved in this next topic is boggling the mind. So I even told Boomer, I said, I'm not sure I'm going to get all three dippers in the day or have enough time to work. Anyway, I thought I'd have too much time, to be honest with you. So the war on women and children. Boomer, do you have that audio, by the way? I sent that audio to you with, okay. And you got the timing I sent on you, too? Okay, we didn't even talk about it, so it's a good thing you're on the job. Aren't you impressed, by the way, that earlier this morning I actually timed it out?
I was very impressed, actually. I was like, wow, you already timed this out.
I know.
He's on top of things. He must have got a lot of sleep this weekend.
I got coffee this morning, too. So we're going to talk about the war on women and children. And that's exactly what it is. So you look around, and I don't want to keep harping too long on the Dylan Mulvaney thing, because that is just literally one episode in the overall war. Like right now, let me skip back to it. Real quick, I'm going to skip down to this one. Story from hotair.com. Story from hotair.com is the state of Washington. Their legislature just passed a bill that would allow the state to intervene and take your children if you do not agree with them wanting gender transition treatments. What? So this is, they're I knew this would happen. They're labeling it abuse, basically, if you won't let them have life-altering medical treatments. I got news. The parents are supposed to be the ones to consent to the medical treatments. Can you imagine someone swooping in and saying, we got your kid. We're going to do the tonsillectomy you didn't know he needed. We got your kid. We pulled their wisdom teeth because we were ready to pull them. We got your kid. We're going to go ahead and mutilate their genitals, and it's going to be great for them. They're just creating a lifetime of follow-up treatments. And the bill says, Senate Bill 5599, allows the State Department of Children's, Youth, and Families to remove children to a group home if their parents oppose gender transition and the child has expressed an interest in or even an abortion for that matter. They can do so without even informing the parents that it happened. In other words, it's like state-sanctioned kidnapping. Your kid goes to school. The transgender-leaning teacher decides to be a first reporter. Next thing you know, Washington State swoops in. And the proposal gives them, in the law, gives them what they call a compelling reason to conceal a child who seeks sex change operations. I mean, there were still some who spoke out. The article points out there's a few sane people left that spoke out against this. And you got to look at it and go, why is such a plan even being considered? How dare they think that this is a good idea to crush parental rights and crush the life of a kid so that you can force an agenda forward. Folks in Washington State who listen to it by podcast, you are welcome in Alabama where we have a law against that. The article goes on to point out here on Town Hall, where's the remaining sane professionals in the medical community? Surely there must be some left out there in the wild. Or are they all more interested in creating a generation of lucrative permanent outpatients that will require a lifetime of treatment to tend to the wounds that are inflicted on transitioning? This madness has got to stop, y'all. I mean, it's demonic level. This is beyond just, well, we just think it's a good idea to... No, you're talking about changing their lives. So I tell you what, I'm going to play a sound clip for you. Oh, I got a caller first. Let me do that real quick. I got a call. Is that Clarence? Clarence Huntsville. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, man, doing good. How you doing?
I'm good, brother. What's on your mind?
Man, I got to tell you, I got children. And I tell you, somebody comes messing with my child, it just makes me wonder, how many people are going to start getting hurt when you start messing with people's children?
I agree. I totally agree.
I mean, you come and take my child under those kind of pretenses, I ain't going down gently. I hate to tell you. And it might be time. That's what American parents don't have to start doing on this kind of stuff over there.
Yeah, I don't know where this is headed, but you're right. I've been saying all along that someone's going to get hurt in this. It's going to wind up being someone seizes your child, or your daughter gets beat up by a dude trying to play girl sports or something. But someone's going to get hurt or killed because this agenda is so threatening to every aspect of sanity.
Well, think about it like this, all right? You're at your house, and you're sitting in there, and you're watching, I don't know what they watch up in Washington, probably The View, but let's just say you're watching The View, and all of a sudden, you got the dang police coming to knock on your door to take your child or child care services away because your child is 8 years old and decides that they want to wear a dress, and they're a little boy. Are you going to allow them to just take your child?
No.
I'm not.
That's the thing. You're exactly
right.
And
that's who's going to start getting hurt.
I totally agree, man. I totally agree.
And you see how these are the same states that want to defund the police. It's the same states that you're watching the rioting happen in these grocery stores, these convenience stores that just happened in California again after Chicago last night. And they're talking about they want social workers being the ones to go and do this. You have lost your mind. And now you're going to turn every parent into a felon for defending their child.
Yeah, and you know what's going to wind up happening? 10 years from now, we're going to see a rapid outbreak of suicide and mental health issues among these kids who were transitioned by activist adults. That's the other piece.
On top of lawsuits.
Yeah,
as those should already be happening by now from the people that it happened to in the first place. They should sue the doctors.
It's well, Clarence, you're spot on, brother, and I appreciate it, man. Let's just hope it doesn't get down to that. But right now, we need some sanity to jump back in sometime soon. Have a great day, bud.
I think so, man. Have a good one.
All right, see you. You got that audio clip, Boomer? What you got? You got a comment?
But I have a comment about that.
Oh, like, you look fired up, man.
I am. I'm. Is
the camera on you right now? I want to see folks see the Mad Boomer.
Mad Boomer. Okay, so my wife and I were talking about that. McQueen and I were talking about that this weekend.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, infuriating, and exactly like Clarence said, what parent is going to allow you to take their kids? And then, on the other hand, what law enforcement officer is going to want to go to somebody's house and take their kids away?
That's a great point. You're going to have law enforcement officers
they're
gonna saying,
be like, I don't want
to
go.
I refuse to enforce this.
And then they're going to have like tons of people there because they know what's about to happen.
And I think what's going to wind up happening is DHR, Alabama is called DHR. In Washington State, it's called something different, but it's very similar. Mm. They're going to wind up having their own enforcement agents that are going to do it, I guarantee you, because I would bet that a lot of the local police officers are going to say, I'm picking up their kids because of what? Have they been abused? Oh, because their 8-year-old wants to switch sexes? You want me to go pick them up? And you're gonna have parents that are gonna be willing to jump in the car with their kid and escape and to be chased across state lines.
Yep. Absolutely.
And then I guarantee you they run next door to Idaho or some conservative venue like that. No one's gonna extradite them back to Washington to face charges for protecting their child.
Nope. I mean, it's like what we were talking about California earlier. There's gonna be a lot of people moving from Washington.
And you know what? There's also by the way, there are conservative, you know, like First Ranger Battalion. No, Second Ranger Battalion is and the 25th is the 25th ID, Second ID is stationed at Fort Lewis, Washington.
Mm.
I mean, you got some dudes with some skills hanging out up there in the Pacific Northwest, that if you come try to get their kids, it's going to be ugly.
It would be.
Yeah,
very
it would.
Ugly.
It would.
Oh, yeah.
Well, hey, I'll tell you what. How much time we get? Yeah, you know what? We're going to play it. So in the War on Women and Children, Maria Bartiromo did an amazing job of expressing her own angst this weekend. It became her rant, and it was so worthy of of I went out and found the clip and brought it in. This is Maria. You got it ready, Bubba? This is Marita Bartiromo talking with one of the hosts from Fox and Friends this weekend about why she is sick to death of watching women being trounced on in the new transgender movement. Go for it.
Something like this helps alert you to other things as well.
Well, I think there's a lot of that in all of it. Pete, good morning. Thank you so much. I think one of the reasons that this story has hit so hard on so many is because of the way Dylan represented women. Okay. Mm-hmm. We have had so many decades, so many years of working hard. I mean, women working hard to earn a seat at the table. And we have done so. And to see this person come on and tell us that she is celebrating 365 days of womanhood. And, oh, what's March Madness? And, oh, I think it has something to do with sports. And, oh, let me crack open a beer. Like, we are such ditz bombs, okay? Stop. Just stop. Look, I think Megyn Kelly said it well when she talked about this in her podcast the other day and said, look, I'm no fan of Hillary Clinton, but Hillary Clinton was a senator, was a first lady, was a secretary of state. Okay, she has the resume and the goods to go up against any man, any time, any day. That's because of all of the years that she's worked so hard to earn that seat at the table. Same with Nikki Haley. Same with so many women that I can mention right now. You know what I'm talking about. How hard mm-hmm. it's been. Look at your co-host, Rachel. Look at all the fantastic women on Fox News. We've worked hard. Look at all the years I worked.
Yeah, I was going to say, look at Maria Bartiromo. You
know, right, going on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange, battling all of those stereotypes to earn my seat at the table. And here comes this person telling me that she's a woman, and, oh, I'm so ditzy.
You can stop it there. You can stop it there. That was an epic rant. I mean, I watched that thing Saturday or Sunday morning. I forget which one it was. And she was going off. And here's the truth. The truth is she is absolutely right. Women have worked hard to destroy the prejudices that said that they're not capable, they're not as competent, that they whatever. They've also worked hard to establish Title IX rights and protections so that they can compete at world-class levels in sports. They've also, by the way, served in elected offices at every level. And now we're going to go ahead and just trash all that so that men can pretend to be women and women can pretend to be men. And I'm telling you right now, it's a war on womanhood. And we better stand up and say something about it, or it's going to keep on creeping on by, and they're going to have us cannibalized, like I said earlier, and we won't be able to get it back. All right, Boomer, I ran long on that. Take us to a break, brother. We'll do that. We'll come right back and put a cap on this. I got a couple more pieces that I'll try to get to before we wrap this thing up. Like, how many of y'all get your stuff at CVS? Did you know what CVS is doing with their new gender transition guidelines? Oh, God. I'll tell you about it when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time and making it cool to be a conservative. Got a couple minutes left here. Who was that calling in a minute ago, man?
Oh, Malai from Hawaii.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's just calling in to say he loved the show. So thanks so much for giving us the shout, Milani. And we just thank you, man, for listening.
Yeah, I mean, technology is awesome. Amazing. But yeah, we got a lot of folks that listen way outside the AM, FM capabilities of our stations and listen in other parts of the world. So that's huge. Shout out to you, brother. Appreciate you calling in. In fact, that's the first time he's called, I think. Yeah. Several text messages here. Terry from Hartzell. With regards to the Washington State thing, she says, you're too generous. To me, I guess. You're too generous. They won't go to the house and confront the parents. They'll be sneaky like they already are with don't tell your parents. And they'll just use a social worker to take them out of school. You know what? I'll be honest with you. That's Terry and Hartzell. Terry, I think you're right. I think actually that's exactly what the bill does allow, that their version of DHR could actually remove the child from school without the parents knowing, and the parents would freak out at the end of the day not knowing where their child is because they're in a safe space somewhere. So you are unfortunately correct, Terry. New texter on the line, D from Madison. D from Madison, appreciate you very much. D is also asking about that Vestavia Hills tax thing. Says, wonder if the Vestavia Hills council manager type of governance has anything to do with that aggressive approach. I don't know, D. Great question. All I know is this. The educrats in that area have pushed for this, and they really want more money to build new facilities. Can't say whether or not they're needed because I don't live in Vestavia, but I know this. The local people have a right to vote on May 9th, apparently, with very little time or warning. Just got word from Jeff from Indiana. Tell us what he said, buddy. Tell us what.
Yeah, Jeff just called back in and said his wife was released from the hospital and is on her way home just to check in with her local doctor. So
outstanding.
That's great.
Outstanding.
Good news.
Outstanding. Glad to hear it. Glad to hear it. Glad to hear it, Jeff. Gary from Athens. Remember, there's a text from Gary from Athens. If you wouldn't mind checking that out, please. It's a good one. JT from Lacey Springs. Said, could be all these new IRS agents assisting with child confiscation. Wow, JT, Lord. Mike from Muscle Shoals says, Phil, the left wants teens to transition because it simultaneously encompasses two items on their agenda. One is population control, helping the environment, and two, it makes people more dependent upon government for life. That's Mike in Muscle Shoals. Mike? Spot on, brother. Joe from Owens Crossroads says, my home state shames me again. Another reason I won't move my family back. I assume he means Washington State. Even though a majority of the counties are red, when you leave Fort Lewis heading towards the mountains, you see a lot of pro-Trump. I believe that, by the way. I served in Baghdad with an Oregon infantry battalion. They're from the Oregon National Guard, and they were squared away, man. A lot of those guys came out of Fort Lewis. A lot of them were, you know, straight leg infantry, former Ranger battalion guys and all of it. And so there was so much experience in that battalion. But they said flat out, once you get east of the Cascades, it's like as conservative as Alabama. It's the stuff on the coast that messes things up. I didn't even get into CVS. You may want to know, though, that CVS now has a new gender transition guideline for all its employees to follow, to include how to be an ally and supporter of your coworker while they take elective time off for their gender transition surgeries. Wonderful. All right, folks. What an amazing day. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Boomer and I back here tomorrow, too. Have a great night. Ruffians out.